taking a look at your level of physical fitness. How do we get our maximum level of physical fitness? With Dustin Maher, who is one of the Madison area's leading personal trainers. He trains clients, teaches classes. He specializes in fitness for moms and core training. He's the creator of the Fit Fun Boot Camps, and he's an ACE certified personal trainer, has a bachelor's degree in kinesiology exercise science from UW-Madison. So he's been with us, comes by once a month or so to talk with us about physical fitness, and I hope you'll join in. This is the time of year. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions to do a better job of that, and what better time than to get started right now. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org. And Dustin, welcome back.
It's great to be here. January is like the Super Bowl for us fitness professionals. So.
Yeah, I imagine that's the month.
Yeah, you know, in gyms, kind of the joke is, you know, it gets full for a couple of weeks, but then we usually say wait 3 weeks. And it's kind of a sad joke because, unfortunately, a lot of those people who start with great aspirations and intentions soon fade away. But it's kind of what happens every year.
What's the best way to succeed when you know, make that resolution? What's the best way to succeed?
Yeah, you know, I wrote on my blog recently about this, and I came across an article that I thought was really powerful. And it was talking about, instead of setting like a New Year's resolution or a goal, it's you set a word of the year that you're going to be. Like, it just kind of encompasses who you're going to become for that year. Mm-hmm. And so for me, my word was focus. So it's focus in business, focus in my workouts, and not being distracted by the shiny object syndrome, as I like to call it. You know, but for maybe someone who struggles with body image, it's your word is beauty. So in everything you do, you try to appreciate the beauty in it. Or maybe if you know have trouble maybe with binge eating, for example, maybe your word's going to be control or something like that that's going to allow you to not maybe binge as much. So I like that strategy. Doing things in groups and getting other people involved, that's one of the biggest ones. First of all, writing your goals down, that's going to help. Doing a food journal. And you just need that accountability, and you also need to have a bigger reason why you're doing it. You know, just to lose weight and look good in jeans is not going to, you know, probably get you through those early morning workouts or you know, trying to stay consistent with a healthy eating plan. So you got to have a bigger why.
Jim Packard, who just retired here recently, the thing that he did for the year was he and his brother are getting together. They've got a 3 times a week meeting where they're getting together at a and work out.
That's great.
And that's a good way to do it. You got, as you say, it's nice to have somebody else.
Yeah.
Sort of to keep you honest, so to speak.
Right. With my boot camps, we were discussing this last week, and we were saying, what's your keys to, you know, showing up each day? And one woman said, it's picking the other person up each morning to come to boot camp, and they don't have a cell phone. So they can't call in or text in, you know, they're not going to come. So you got to show up. So, you know, if you are going somewhere to a gym, picking someone up is a great way. Carpooling.
Josh in Green Bay, we turn to you now. Hi, Josh. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I got a couple of questions. One, I just recently, in the last couple of months, me and a couple of buddies started going to the gym 5 days a week.
Okay.
And we are we started taking some workout supplements, stuff like that. And I was wondering, I'm on the Muscle Tech line, the Anabolic Halo and the No Vapor. And I was wondering if you had any comments on other stuff I should be looking at to help tone or build muscle and burn fat.
Yeah, so I mean, I know Muscle Tech, you know, quite well. Those couple of products I'm not 100% familiar with. Here's my thing with supplements. I'm not opposed to them. I think they definitely have their benefits. But most people who want to take supplements are also eating an awful diet. And they're eating a lot of processed food and stuff. And so I tell people, let's not even think about supplements right away. Let's think about actually doing well with your eating, you know, and getting enough protein in you, getting rid of the caffeine or a lot of your caffeine, your fake sugars, your bad, you know, fats, different things like that. And then you can focus on supplements. Supplements that I usually recommend people taking, multivitamins, just a good one to take kind of as a blanket, protein powder, whey protein powder, with some sort of natural sweetener. There's a few on the market. There's not that many. Stevia is going to be your best bet, but a lot of them are going to have sucralose in them. You can check my website out. I've got links to those. And then creatine, if you want to get some more muscle on, creatine has been shown to be effective and safe. So I like to take creatine and some sort of fish oil for some omega-3s. Those are the ones I take and recommend. There's some fat burners out there, but just about every fat burner, I feel like, gets called off the market after a couple of years. So I would just be careful with that.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Josh. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Leslie in Preston, Minnesota. We turn to you now. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, guys. Dustin, I just wanted to call in and, well, thank you, first of all, for all the great email information and inspiration that you send.
Oh, thank you.
This is awesome. And I could tell right away you're a nice guy, but I have to tell you that when I saw the Christmas family video that you guys made, it was so touching.
Oh, good.
How you showed your family, and I could just tell that house was just an awesome place to grow up, and how you showed your grandma and all that. I mean, Dustin, you are a very, very, I don't know how to say it, just down-to-earth and really great person.
Oh. Well, I appreciate that. That's very nice. You have a question you want to ask while you're on?
No, I just kind of take your little tidbits here and there and work them in, and I've lost like 14 pounds.
Good
I think
for you.
That's your help. So.
Good for you.
Thanks, Leslie.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, if you guys are listening and you want to get my newsletter, which she's talking about, I put like 10 hours a week into writing that thing. It's completely free. Just go to Dustin Maher Fitness, DustinMaherFitness.com. On the left-hand side there, just put your name and email address, and I'll get that sent out to you.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling, Leslie. Appreciate it. And it's DustinMaherFitness.com,
yep,
right?
DustinMaherFitness.com.
Let's go to Tom in La Crosse. Tom, hi to you.
Hi, I'm great. I had a question, actually, about the multivitamins you just mentioned. I typically have an issue where my stomach gets really upset by multivitamin, you know, one a day or a generic brand of some sort. And the only one I've actually found that didn't do that was quite expensive, so it's hard to maintain that kind of a, you know, bottle at its price. Do you have any suggestions or know of any brands or reason that actually would happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I haven't heard much with people having issues with it. I've heard a couple times, but do you take it with food or without?
I even take it with food, and it's funny because it's about two to five minutes into it, and it just really, my stomach starts turning.
Interesting. Well, a couple things you could maybe try would be, you know, timing at different times of the day. Try that.
Okay.
Maybe even breaking the vitamin up into two pieces.
Okay.
And doing a smaller one. I mean, the one that I take, I haven't heard anybody having issues with it. You could check it out on my website under the supplements category. But
okay.
I don't think it's a very common problem that I've had people, you know, tell me about.
No, my wife had that problem a bit, but when she started taking it with food, the problem went away.
Yeah, usually that's one of the bigger issues with it is the timing of it. So, you know, maybe try different food combinations.
Yeah, something else to think about. Thank you. Skip, your turn next. Hi, Skip.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on and a great show. I am a ski marathon aficionado. So the Burka Binder is the big one, but I ski a few others. And I got behind in my training this year. I train year-round, so I'm overall still in pretty good shape. But as far as ramping it up like I usually would do in December, I was involved in a play. And so with play practice, that time out, plus we, southeastern Wisconsin, we have not gotten much snow. So those are two things working against me. But I'm just trying to pick up the pace now, you know, and I am. I'm getting there, I think. But a more specific question about what my maximum heart rate should be. I've heard it's 220 minus your age.
Yeah.
And although I exceed that, I don't exceed it for a long time. But when I'm skiing up a hill and I put the hammer down, I do go beyond where I should. I'm 51 years old, so theoretically I should only go 59 by that formula. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, 220 minus your age was kind of the old school formula, and they've come out with some newer ones. It's a kind of a complicated formula that I couldn't just do in my head. You could Google that, I'm sure, and you could find it. They found that the old way, underestimates. So if it says 220 minus your age should, 160 should be your max, most people could get above 160, which is what you're talking about. So, the max heart rate, it's so different for every person. I would just go by how you're feeling and, getting your heart rate past that number, as long as you're healthy and your doctor's cleared you for vigorous exercise, it should not be an issue. And you shouldn't worry about, getting it up to a certain number, as long as you don't have any heart issues.
Dustin Maher, our guest today, one of the area's, Madison area's leading personal trainers, our guest. He'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at physical fitness and achieving your maximum level of physical fitness today with Dustin Maher, who is a creator of Fit Fun Boot Camps, ACE certified personal trainer, bachelor's degree in kinesiology exercise science at UW-Madison. Been a regular on our show for quite a while now, and we always get lots of calls, and we have many waiting here. So we'll go to the phones to Susan in Bristol next. Susan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Barry and Dustin, appreciate it. I am trying to figure out the best way to build some muscle. I'm 52 years old, and I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but I went through menopause about 3 years ago, and I started losing muscle mass in my backside and my legs. And got a little bit of a belly, and I was always in very, very, very good shape. And I'm not a candidate for hormone replacement therapy because of a precancerous breast issue that I have. And I don't know if creatine will help me or how many grams of protein I should be trying to have a day.
Yeah.
I know how to work out. I used to be an aerobics instructor. But
Yep. Great question. You're talking to the right person. This is what I get most excited about when women ask me how to put on some lean muscle. Okay, a couple things. You said you're an aerobics instructor, which in some ways can be the problem because overdoing the cardio is going to decrease your muscle mass right there. Also, going through menopause, that does more, I've seen, with osteoporosis and bone density loss. So that's something you definitely want to become aware of if you aren't already. And then increasing your workouts, your strength training is going to help with the bones too. So a total body strength training program is going to be the key, using challenging weights. And most women I find, are afraid to, whether they think they're going to get bulky or they're afraid of getting injured, afraid of using, heavy enough weights. And I see them using the fives, eights, and maybe even some 10 pound weights.
I have all kinds of weights and stuff, and I've been working out with weights since I was 14. So.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Okay, so what I do is just continually progress and always try to have overload, which means you're doing more than, the week before, continually changing it up. Some days, or some weeks, resting longer between your sets or days, sometimes less. The protein question, I know we have an email on protein too, so we can kind of take care of both of these. It's a controversial topic. You're going to get different answers depending on who you ask. I'd say most in the fitness industry, especially the ones who focus on body transformation, we believe we need more protein in our diets, not only to maximize the muscle gain, but also if we're eating more protein, we're going to be eating less of other things, mostly carbs. And carbs are the biggest factor, I believe, in fat gain. So per gram per pound, I would say between like 0.7 and 1 gram per ideal lean body weight. So meaning if your ideal weight's like 130 pounds, that would be maybe between 90 grams and 120 grams of protein.
So I weigh 115 pounds, so I should probably be taking about 150 grams of protein a day?
No, I would say about 100 to 115. About 1 gram per pound.
Okay.
So you said 115, right? You weigh 115 pounds?
Yeah.
So around that. 150 is probably a little bit too much.
We want to put on some weight, so maybe.
Yeah, and then just increase your portion size of everything, but still eat clean, still eat whole natural foods, don't eat junk food.
All right, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Ralph in Thiensville, I think we'll go to you next. Hi, Ralph. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Dustin. My question is this. I'm 81 years old, and I like to bike and ski and hike, but I've recently been diagnosed with peripheral artery disease, and they can replace an artery surgically, but I understand that there's a regimen for a treadmill that can help to reduce the plaque in my legs, but it's supposed to be done by a qualified therapist. Can you give me any information about that?
You know what? That is something I have never worked on or don't know much about. So maybe a physical therapist could be someone that you could look at, or something more in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I haven't really worked with PAD very much.
So you might try a physical therapist.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good luck, Ralph. Thank you very much for calling. Vicki in Duluth, Minnesota. We're on to you now. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. So let's revisit the amount of protein, if we might. So yep. I did listen to Susan, and but besides, you know, having enough muscle, I'm also interested in living a long time, and I'm a member of the Calorie Restriction Society, but I'm kind of a failed member of Calorie Restriction.
Yep.
So recently in one of my magazines that has the word science in the title, like, say, Scientific American, there was some new research that pointed out that now there's evidence that it isn't so much calorie restriction as protein restriction. And kind of the bottom line in the article was that it's the evidence isn't really, really strong, so they wouldn't recommend restricting your calories below the RDAs, which would make it about 1 gram per kilogram rather than 1 gram
yep.
per pound.
Yep, yep. Yeah.
So what I'm really, I pay attention to bodybuilding because it's just interesting to me, and I'm just wondering how much myth there is, and where is the evidence that you have to have these grams, more than 1 gram per kilogram, to build muscle?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and part of it is not necessarily to maximize muscle gain, and I think I kind of mentioned that. I don't think you need 1 gram per pound to maximize muscle gain. I think it's more like probably 0.5 to 0.6 is what I've seen. But what I'm saying is protein fills you up. It helps with satiety. And if you're eating more protein, you know, in the good forms of protein, your chances are you're going to be eating less carbs, you know, in different forms, whether that's sugar or wheat products. And that's where, from a body transformation standpoint, I believe eating more protein is better.
There you go. Thank you for calling. Chad emailed us and wondered why stay away from caffeine as far as fitness goes.
Yeah, you know, I should clarify that. Caffeine is the most used stimulant, or supplement, if you want to call it that, and also the most abused. In moderation, caffeine is not a problem. You know, it stimulates. It actually does increase your metabolism. It's been shown to do that. But again, most people abuse it by, you know, whether it's drinking too much coffee, too many energy drinks, and it can over-fatigue your body. It can mess with different hormones, your adrenal glands, and then continually, just like any other drug, people will try to, you know, they don't get a buzz, or they don't get, you know, awake by 2 cups of coffee, so they drink 3 or 4, then they start taking those energy drinks, and it's just this nasty cycle, and you become over caffeinated. So, you know, most cleanses or programs out there that, you know, try to get you back to your natural state where your body wants to be, gets rid of caffeine, at least initially, to kind of get you back to baseline. But, you know, a little bit of caffeine before you work out has been shown to improve performance, and then also increase, you know, your metabolism and fat burning effects a little bit.
Rebecca emailed us and is worried about destructive sugars in the body. She's been working to eliminate added sugars, but she says, I'm confused about sugars in fruits.
Yeah.
I probably eat more fruit than I should because it's one of the only sweets I allow myself to have now. Are fruit sugars also harmful to the body? Should I reduce my servings?
It's a great question and controversial. Many of you guys probably know who Dr. Mercola is. One of the most probably popular websites out there on nutrition, and he's just anti fruit for the most part, you know, to a lot of degree, and that fructose, which is what a lot of fruit is comprised of, is very damaging and toxic to your body. I'm kind of in the middle somewhere. I think, you know, eating too much fruit is probably not a great thing. I know some Some people say eat your fruits alone because it helps with that digestion to eat them alone. My philosophy is to eat fruits with proteins or fats. And the reason is from a metabolic standpoint is that, you know, your fruit, if you just eat fruit plain, so say you eat an apple and an orange together, that's a lot of sugar getting released into your bloodstream. So insulin will come in, pull that sugar into the body, and it's going to probably, you know, store it as fat if it doesn't get burned right away. So I would not go away from fruit because there's so many awesome benefits to fruit. But, you know, keep it to a couple servings a day of it and try to combine it with fats or proteins.
Debbie in Duluth, Minnesota says, I'm a 45-year-old female. I eat fairly low-fat foods. I walk a mile and a half a day, try to do some kind of workout daily, but I still have cellulite on my butt. Are there exercises that can reduce this?
Yeah, cellulite, you know, I think the term, I was just reading it, it came about, the term, I think it was like in Vogue magazine, it was something like that. In like the 70s, the word and the phenomenon came about, even though it, you know, it's been there for a long time. You know, so cellulite can be helped by gaining muscle, gaining strength. It kind of stretches things out and doesn't make it quite as curdy looking. And then body fat reduction is the other thing. So, you know, kind of, I would put you on a program similar to anything I would for just overall weight loss. You know, I would definitely focus on squats, lunges, step ups, deadlifts. Those are all going to tone that part of the body. And then, you know, it sounds like you're eating pretty well, but just maybe tweaking different things in your diet to drop the body fat percentage a little bit. As people age, you know, it becomes more and more common. And, you know, I wouldn't go for any of those creams or anything. None of them that I've ever seen research-wise has been proven to be effective.
And Jen in Madison says, my husband found that the usual one-a-day vitamins upset his stomach. The culprit for him was iron. So now he buys a men's formula vitamins that don't have iron in them.
Okay.
And that's
okay, great.
Took care of the problem. So that might work for the other culprit.
Yeah, women definitely, you know, usually need more iron than men because of the menstruation process. So that's really cool. And I wanted to touch on the fruit thing one more time. So low glycemic fruits is what I generally recommend trying to stick with most of the time. So berries are always great for that. Any kind of berry, it's going to be lower glycemic. I think pears are. Things like bananas, grapes, those are going to be oranges. Those are going to be higher glycemic. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat them or can't eat them, but those I'd eat a little bit more rare and then focus on low glycemic. If you just Google, you know, glycemic index of fruits, and you'll get the list of everyone.
And then back to the vitamin, the multivitamin thing, Erica sent us an email as well. She had the problem. Her solution was chewable adult multivitamins.
Okay.
She said Target carries them. I'm sure Walgreens does as well. I haven't had an upset stomach once with the chewables.
All right. Well, great.
So there's another option. Thomas in Arborvita up next. Hi, Thomas.
Hello there.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, when I heard that lady a few people ago, it was 52 and she wanted to put muscle on. I'm 75, and about 5 years ago, my doctor told me that I was borderline obese. He said, you're in nice shape, but you're borderline obese. So I felt real bad about that, so I took off 47 pounds, and now I'm 167, and I was around 2'9", but then I started lifting smaller weights, just 10-pounders, one in each hand. And when I was down in Texas doing an art, when I was in the wintertime, I was lucky to do about 40, you know, 45, 50. And then really I had to let go because it really hurt a little bit, you know. So are you still there?
Yeah.
Anyway, as the months went on and on and on, and we'll make a long story short, now we'll talk about, like, this is age now, and over the last few weeks, the best I've ever done, because I hold 110-pound in the right hand and the other hand, and I do 100 counts a minute. 100 counts a minute, so you go 1, 2, 3, 4, that's lifting. The best I've ever done is 3,200 without stopping.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's impressive. Well, a couple comments. I mean, that certainly is good, and I think that's awesome that you're lifting. But I would recommend not doing that many reps necessarily, because you're really just working your type one muscle fibers. I mean, I'm sure you've certainly gotten stronger. And first of all, congratulations on losing 47 pounds. That is phenomenal. But I would also try to increase the weight a little bit and get your reps to maybe 10 to 15 reps, maybe 20 reps at tops. Because, yeah, you'll continually get more endurance, but you're not going to build as much strength. So I would try to mix that in there, too.
Okay, so and when you say more, 20 pounds on
I
the
mean,
side?
Or? He's doing curls. I mean, and I would also, hopefully he's doing more than just curls. I mean, curls are just going to be working biceps, which is a very small muscle group compared to your whole body. But, yeah, maybe 15s. I would probably start with 15s first, and mm-hmm. if you can do 15s for 10 to 15 reps, maybe bump it up to 20s. But hopefully he's doing some back work and some leg work and some shoulders and chest, too.
All right, there we go. Denny, and thank you again, Thomas, for calling. Denny in Middleton, we'll go to you next. Hi, Denny.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
There was an older gentleman, a few people back, that was wondering how to treat PAD without surgery.
Yeah.
He might want to look into red yeast rice. And I have a question of my own. Anytime I've ever gone for a physical, I get crammed into a category for my height or what my weight
yep.
should be. But since I was little, I mean born, I've just had a lot of muscle. It's
yep.
really not a big deal for me to have more muscle than I even need. I have a lot of heat as a result of it. And it just doesn't seem like sometimes the charts acknowledge
yeah,
different body
yeah.
types.
Yep.
Do you find that? Or
absolutely. If you look at the Green Bay Packers lineup, I think every single one's considered obese. There might be a couple of guys
yeah.
who are not. So you definitely don't want to go by that. I mean, it's a great general broad thing for most people. But two things you want to look at is your body fat. So if you can get, you know, a trainer who's good at doing them to do your body fat, you can do underwater weighing and take a look at that. That's going to be a lot more accurate. Another one, you can just measure your abdomen around the circumference of the biggest part of your belly. And as long as it's under 40, you're going to be at a healthier range. I mean, I think around a 35 for guys should be more ideal, 35 to 38. But the research shows if it's over 40, you're at a significant higher risk for different, you know, health diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a better measure.
All right. Well, thanks.
Yep.
Thanks for calling. Don in Southwest Wisconsin. On to you now. Hi, Don.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Just
sure.
a quick question for your guest. About a 30-year-old male. Works out 3-4 times a week, looking to do some running, a running program. Can you just give me some recommendations to keep the weight down and not to overdo it?
Yeah,
I would, you know, I like to focus on shorter distances. I don't know what your goal, if it's like, you know, running a marathon, but, you know, start off with maybe a half a mile or mile and just, you know, jog it out for, I would say like a week or two, just get comfortable with running. Otherwise, if you overdo it, you know, too soon, you might get injured. But then also start to incorporate different interval into that. So maybe if it's on a track, we'll just use a track, for example, you run the straightaways or you sprint the straightaways and then you jog the corners
mm-hmm.
And things like that, where you're going more interval based or burst training based is kind of what I call it. And do both, but never neglect to still lift and still do your core training, which are two things that a lot of runners neglect to do, and they just focus on the running. So, but
all
yeah,
right,
and just build it up to, you know, build up to 3-4 miles, whatever, you know, you want. I would say 2 times a week if you're just kind of running for just to stay in overall shape. If you're really trying to compete in something, more like 3 or 4 times.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Nick from La Crosse still wonders about how much caffeine is too much. How much coffee is too much?
I don't have a milligram amount that I necessarily recommend, but you know, I think if you're needing more than 1 or 2 cups in the morning of coffee to wake yourself up, you're probably, you know, either not taking care of yourself by eating the right foods or exercising or getting enough sleep. So I would use that as one of your barometers. Or another one is if you eliminated caffeine, you know, or coffee in the morning or whatever you take, are you going to be crabby in the morning? Are you going to have a hard time getting up in the morning? If the answer is yes to that question, you're probably, you know, to some degree abusing it.
And then how often should a person – well, first, how much time should a person spend per day on exercise?
Yeah. I think a lot of people – well, most of America is very sedentary, so a lot of people underdo it. But people who do work out, a lot of times, I think, can overdo it. The minimum, I would say, is 3 times a week, 30 minutes. That's the minimum. But when you're doing that, and when I say that, that's intense exercise. I mean, that's mm-hmm. getting the heart rate well past its comfort level.
Yeah.
The muscles are going to be burning. If you're just walking, you know, 30 minutes three times a week, you're not going to probably see any weight loss. You might feel a little better. There'll be some heart health benefits to it. But, you know, it's 30 minutes of vigorous strength training and maybe some interval or burst cardio thrown in there. Maximum, I think 1 hour a day, 6 days a week is pretty much max that you should do. I know like people who train for long distance stuff have to train more than that. But mm-hmm. the average person just looking to get in shape, 3 to 4 times, 30 minutes to 45 minutes.
Mary in Duluth, Minnesota has a question. Hi, Mary.
Hi, I just got a new knee. I'm 72 years old, and I'm limping badly. And they say that to break the pattern, my core strength is too low. What do you recommend for, you just gave somebody a certain amount of duration, so yeah. many days a week. What would you recommend? Because I can go to the fitness center starting
yeah.
tomorrow.
Well, what I would do is focus on planks for one thing for your core. So front
on what?
Planks, where you do a front plank. Do you know what a front plank is?
No.
So you're in a push-up position, but you're on your forearms instead.
Yeah.
And you just hold that position, keeping your body nice and flat, pulling the stomach in. And you do that for like, I mean, you work your way up. Maybe you can do it for 10 seconds right now. Eventually get to about a minute of that. You can do 2 or 3 sets of it. Side planks are another great one where you rotate onto your side with your feet on the ground, lifting your hips up. And again, you're on your forearm. I'll hold that for 20 or 30 seconds too. I've got a core DVD that has 8 15-minute workouts in them that you could get off my website. There's tons of different, you know, if you just go online and search for different core programs out there. But for a core, I would say 10 to 15 minutes, 3 times a week, 2 to 3 times a week should be all
Thank
you need.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, your website is?
Dustin Maher, DustinMaher, fitness.com. And on the left-hand side, you can sign up for my free newsletter. I send out 3 times a week with content-rich motivational, inspirational, nutrition, all that good stuff, exercise tips. And then also on the left-hand side there, they can see all my different DVD programs. I've got about 22 DVDs out right now. And I got my FitFun boot camps, of course. If you guys are around the Madison area, we have 10 locations.
And those are ongoing?
They're ongoing. You can start anytime. You can try it out for free. Come for a free week. And if you're really looking to take your fitness level to the highest level it's ever been, I think we got about 300 people in our boot camps right now and getting phenomenal results.
When it comes to training, whether cardio or resistance, it's not unusual to see people moving too quickly. How do you maintain proper form and speed movement?
Yeah, you never want to not be in control of the weight for the most part. I mean, there's some exercises like swings, kettlebell swings, where you're kind of out of control in some way. But, just make sure that like on the lowering phase, the weights are not dropping. You want to be always in control. So, there's different speeds at which you can go, but like a 1 or 2 second up and a 1 or 2 second down. So 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, that's all the way up. And then 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi down. That's a nice pace to go. Or you can even go slower. Right now in my own program, I'm trying 5 seconds up, 5 seconds down. 5 seconds seems like an eternity when you're doing like a squat or a shoulder press or a bench press. So it's a 10-second rep by the time you start to finish one rep. And I do like 8 reps of that, which is about a minute 15, minute 20 time under tension. And that really is tough. It's a lot harder than just, going fast. So just change the speeds up.
Dustin, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. You'll be back and do this again.
Definitely. I'd love to.
Dustin Maher, again, his website, DustinMaherFitness.com.
And MadisonBootCamps.com.
And MadisonBootCamps.com. Thanks for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.